Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these teachers. Lord, I never forget the bumper sticker. If you can read this, thank a teacher. And so, Lord, here they are teaching this generation here with all the challenges and things that go along with that. We pray your blessing upon them. And so, Lord, as we now enter as a church of fasting and prayer, Lord, that you will grant us the wisdom needed. You will grant us, Lord, breakthroughs, that you will provide for us in the areas we need provision. And Lord, that you would do a tremendous work, Lord. And so, Lord, as we open up your word, that you would open up our hearts to the truths that are in them, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, teachers. God bless you. All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, for those of you who are new, we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, through the entire Bible. We find ourselves in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, the title of this message is Taking Care of Business. Taking care of business. Now, to take care of business means that we are taking care of our responsibilities. There are many men today who are considered deadbeat dads because they failed to take care of business in the lives of their children. Many, not all, but many of you are divorced because you failed to take care of business at home. There are others, not all, but many of you are jobless because you failed to take care of business at your last job and you lost it. And so in this chapter, we're going to see how to take care of business in three areas. Number one, in our homes, in verses 1 through 10, in our homes. Number 2, for the kingdom of God, in verses 11 through 17, for the kingdom of God. And number 3, in our lives personally, in verses 28 to 48. Look what it says there in verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and was rich. He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Looking at number 1, taking care of business in our homes. Now, Jericho was a beautiful oasis city, similar to West Palm Beach, Florida, or Palm Springs, California, where the average temperature year-round is 80 degrees. Kind of making it the city I kind of want to live in. You know, I don't do cold. You know that. I don't do cold. If it's under 60 degrees, it's cold. And so 80 degrees year round. So here we get the setting, and the setting is in the city of Jericho. We're introduced to a man named Zacchaeus in verse 2. And his name means righteous one. And as we're going to see, he was far from righteous. He was not only a hated tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector, meaning that he was over all of the other tax collectors. Now, tax collectors at this time, they were hated not only because they worked for the IRS of Rome, but because they cheated the people. For example, if Rome required that they collect 5 cents from every person in taxes, whatever they could get above this amount went to them. So the people hated them because they got rich off of them. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, meaning that he was hated more than all. And once again, we see someone like the rich young ruler that we were introduced to in chapter 18, who seemed to have it all, riches and prestige and power and success in life. But here we see Zacchaeus still empty on the inside. This is a reminder for us not to envy those in the lifestyles of the rich and famous or in Hollywood, because no matter what they have, and we see what they have, no matter what they have, they're still empty on the inside. They still need Jesus no matter what. And we see them destroying their lives, and it's easy for us to point at them and say, look what they did. Look what she's wearing. Look what she did on stage. And it's easy to point it out. They're lost. They in need of the Lord. And here it is, Zacchaeus, rich. He had it all, power, prestige, position, but he was still empty on the inside, and he wanted to see Jesus so much that he ran, according to verse 4, and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him because he was very short, meaning don't allow any physical limitations to keep you from Jesus. There are many people who allow physical limitations to keep them from the Lord. Well, I can't come to church because of physical limitation. There are times by which that might be the case, but when you can see them at the mall, and you can see them at the Walmart, oh, I say, oh, so you can get out. It's only you can't get out when it comes to church. So don't allow physical limitations to keep you from getting to Jesus. And here it is, Zacchaeus was willing to go out on a limb to see Jesus. How far are you willing to go out on a limb to see Jesus move in your life or in your home? So often we're willing to play it safe when sometimes we have to go out on a limb to see Jesus. You understand, out on the limb, that's where the fruit is. And sometimes we have to go out on a limb to see Jesus move in our lives like Zacchaeus did. And what else or what happened next? Look at verses 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Jesus passes by and looks up and tells Zacchaeus in verse 5, come on down, Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay at your house. Notice how verse 6 says that he made haste and came down. There was no hesitation with Zacchaeus. He hurried and came down. Jesus wants to come to each of our homes and stay there as well. The word stay in the Greek language in verse 5 is meno, and it means to stay or to abide, to dwell. It gives the connotation of being comfortable. In other words, Jesus wants to be comfortable in our lives and in our homes. How would you feel if Jesus wanted to come to your home? Would you be excited? Or would you be embarrassed because of the things that you watch? Or the DVDs you have at home? Or the music you have downloaded? And I believe that Jesus has told us to make haste. I'm coming to your house, and we so often procrastinate. And we're coming down slowly down from the tree. When Jesus asks us to do something, we need to do like Zacchaeus did and make haste and come down. And I want you to notice how he did it. According to verse 6, it says he came down and he made haste joyfully. So often Jesus asks us to do something and we do it not joyfully, but we do it with regret, with sorrow, or we do it grudgingly. Surely, when the people saw that Jesus said he wanted to come to Zacchaeus' house, the hated tax collector, surely they were excited. Did you hear? He wanted to go to Zacchaeus' house. I know you heard. Did you hear? Surely they were excited. Look at verse 7. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. No matter what you try to do to help other people, there will always be those who will complain about you. But don't let that keep you from helping people like it is here. So often people complain. We're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't do. No, don't allow the complaint keep you from helping those that God put on your heart to help. It reminds me of when my wife and I were in the store just yesterday. We're in Macy's, and I'm walking, going towards the men's department, and there was a man in a wheelchair, and he stopped me. And, you know, I've been around a long time. I know when somebody is about to scam me, and I know when it's the real deal. And so he stops me, and he says, you know, I didn't mean to stop you. I'm a Vietnam vet, and I stopped him because every Vietnam vet always said, thank you for serving our country. And then we became right here with this next statement. He said, I'm a Vietnam vet. He said, I was a former Marine. I said, stop right there. Stop right there. I said, I'm a former Marine. He almost broke down in tears. He said, look, Marine. He said, because once a Marine, always a Marine. He said, look, Marine. He said, I'm struggling right now. He said, he only had 16 cents in his account. He said, I'm supposed to get X amount of dollars in 8 days, but between now, he said, you know what? I got 2 purple hearts, one with a silver cluster. He said, I got this medal and this medal. He said, I was a gunny in the Marine Corps in Vietnam, led troops. He said, but all people see is a dirty old man in a wheelchair right now. He said, I fought for my country. He said, and I'm looked down upon like I'm a piece of dirt like nothing. He said, if you can just spare anything, he said, I promise I'll give it back to you. And for me, this is me. I'm like, you know what? This is the time we live in. I don't carry cash anymore. I just use my card. I don't carry cash. I said, bro, can I buy you some clothes? Buy you something to eat? He said, you know, I already ate. You know, so today I know he ain't scamming. See, he said, I already ate. He said, whatever you can spare, wife found a few dollars and just gave it to him. And don't allow what folks will say to keep you from helping people. There are people that are scamming out there. He said, I'm from Maryland. He said, but I came down here to go to the VA hospital. He said, I got Agent Orange. I got cancer in my throat. And I know he got all that from Vietnam. I know that where he got all that from. He said, I'm supposed to get X amount of thousands upon hundreds of thousands of dollars in like 8 days because of what he went through. He said, but you know, from now and then, and he started crying. He started crying. He said, because all people see is just a dirty old man struggling in a wheelchair, lost part of his leg. And it's a shame because many of us would have just walked back. Or complained, want to do something, go somewhere. And this man's a decorated war hero who fought 40 years ago in Vietnam. So don't allow what folks will say. He said, you're the only one who stopped and talked to me and gave me your undivided attention. He said, because of what I have, he said, my eyesight is so I can't make out your face. Because I was down there like this talking to him. Got on this level to talk to him. Because he's a person that Jesus loves. And so don't allow complaint and folks and what people will say keep you from helping people. Look what it says in verses 8 through 10. It says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to him, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Zacchaeus said in verse 8, half of my goods I will give to the poor. Remember, Jesus told the rich young ruler in chapter 18 to give all to the poor. Why? Because riches have become his God. That's why he told him that. The point is, riches cannot be our God. We just learned in chapter 16 that no man can serve two masters. He will either love one or hate the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't. Jesus said in verse 9, salvation has come to this house. Why? Because Zacchaeus had a change of heart. Anytime you are willing to part with any amount of your money, especially half of it, salvation has come to your house. Your view of money and what you're willing to give is always the true test to show whether your heart has been changed by Jesus Christ. I didn't make that up. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus has sent the true test to show whether your heart has been changed is your view of money. What are you willing to give? Because God is a giver. For God so loved the world, he what? He gave. Last time I checked. So we're most like God when we give. So if you're selfish and stingy, notice, you're only selfish and stingy when it comes to giving to God. Christmas coming up. Birthdays, vacations, holidays. We're not stingy there. We only stingy when it comes to the things of God. You understand that? I'm just keeping it real with you. The true test to show whether your life has been changed is your view of money and your ability and your willingness to give. This shows that you have a change of heart. This is always a true indication that salvation has come to a person's house or life. There will be a change of heart. That which you used to do, you don't want to do anymore. This is the true sign. This is what set Christianity apart from any other religion, is the changed life. People always talk about, I was born this way. I was born. You're right. We're all born sinners. But when Jesus has come into your house, your life, The things you used to do, you don't want to do anymore. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what the Word of God says. When Jesus has truly touched your life, the proof is in the pudding. It's to change life. That's the thing. Jesus never saved you to leave you the same. You know, saying, I'm a Christian this, I'm a Christian that. Really? You might as well just say, I'm a Christian adulterer. Well, I'm a Christian liar. I'm a Christian. People always want to put this. Hey, let me tell you, Jesus never saved you to leave you that way. The things you used to do, you don't want to do. Zacchaeus said, I used to steal from people, take their money. Says, I don't want to do that any longer. Zacchaeus said in verse 8, he says, If I have taken anything by false accusation, I will restore fourfold. He didn't say I will give it back. I will restore it four times the amount. This is what I call taking care of business. Because when you can make such statements as these, where you are going to give away X amount of dollars, you have had a change of heart. And it's all to it. Something else I want to bring out is what is said in verse 8. He says, I will restore fourfold. Watch this. Meaning when salvation has come to our homes, we will seek to restore things. Restore broken relationships with coworkers. Restore broken relationship with family members and church people and friends. You will seek to restore things. This is the true sign. Relationships, all of us got broken relationships in our lives for whatever reason. When Jesus has truly touched your life and come into your house, you will seek to restore. I'm telling you, restore with a parent or with a sibling. And you seek to restore. Now, sometimes this is not possible because of death or they have moved away. But this is what you would have a heart to do and be willing to do, is restore things. This is why we need to do like Zacchaeus and make haste to restore things. You know why? Because we don't know around what corner death is. We don't know whether that person's going to move away. We don't know what's going to happen. We need to make haste to restore. When Jesus has touched your life, you want to restore. Let me tell you something. There's some mess that happened years ago now at our church. And let me tell you, since then, since Jesus has touched my life and got me through the anger and the bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness and got me through all of that stuff, I've been on a quest to seek to restore. Restore relationships, sending emails and text messages. I'm sorry for hurting you and for doing this. Please forgive me. I'm seeking to restore. Seeking to restore, because when Jesus has touched your life, you won't keep holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment and all that stuff. You will seek to restore. Some of you need to restore, I'm telling you. And some of you need to do like Zacchaeus and make haste to restore. Well, see, stop. You need to seek to restore. They should be the one. I'm the child, they're the parent. Seek to restore. Seek to restore. Because, hey, let me tell you something. You'll wake up every day kicking yourself. Every day will regret if that person goes off into eternity and you had the opportunity to restore and you didn't. You'll kick yourself every day. Every day with regret and sorrow. I should have. It's been said that the greatest nation in the world is procrastination. And many of you are citizens of that nation. Procrastination. You need to restore. God is speaking to somebody. You need to restore some kind of relationship. And so seek to take care of business, number one, in your home. Number two, for the kingdom of God. Look at verses 11 through 13. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God will appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Number two, looking at taking care of business for the kingdom. Now, here is Jesus using another story to illustrate his point about the kingdom of God. In this story, 10 servants were given, they were called and given each a mina to do some business. A mina was equivalent to 3 months' wages for the working man. And so they were called and given this amount of money and said, go do some business till I come back. And so others, you know, they began to see what was going on, and watch how Jesus deals with them. Because it's amazing, because he was telling them to take care of business till I come back. So they were given this money, go do business, take care of business until I return. Let's see what happened. Because see, we need to take care of business for the kingdom of God. And whether you believe it or not, what we do for the Lord here on this earth will have something to do with what we're going to be doing for God when he comes to establish his kingdom upon the earth. That blows me away. That blows me away. Because so often the last thing we're taking care of business at is for the kingdom. Oh, we'd take care of business when it comes to our finances. We'd take care of business when it comes to us personally. We'd take care of business when it comes to recreation. We'd take care of business sexually. We'd take care of business. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, oh, we don't take care of business there. We don't take care of business there. Let's see how this all unfolds. Look at this story. It starts in verse 14. We're going to take it down to verse 27 to get the context. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, "Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came and said, "Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, "You also be over 5 cities. Then another man came saying, "Master, here is your mina, which I have kept and put away in the handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, reap what you did not sow." And he said to him, "Out of your own mouth I would judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest?" And he said to those who stood by, "Take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, "Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given. And from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me." Now, these people were judged based upon their faithfulness to what God has given them to do. The one person took his mina and earned 10 more. So Jesus said in verse 17, "I will make you rule over 10 cities. The next guy earned 5 more minas and according to verse 19 will be ruler over 5 cities. Then the next person took what God gave him and hid it according to verse 20. See, when Jesus comes to establish his kingdom upon the earth for 1,000 years, it's called the millennial kingdom. Milli is Latin for 1,000. The 1,000 years that Jesus will reign upon the earth. That we're going to come back with him and help him rule the earth. So some of us will be ruling over 5 cities, over 10 cities, depending upon how faithful we are to take care of business here on the earth right now. And once again, I'm going to ask one more time, are you taking care of business for the kingdom of God? Or are we like the man who took what God gave him and hid it? Are you hiding your gift? Look at your gifts and talents and abilities that you have been given by God. God originally gave those things to you to use for his kingdom, not just to make a living. Are you using your talents and abilities for the kingdom of God? Are you taking care of business at church with those particular gifts and talents and abilities? I know a lot of you here. A lot of you. I know what you're doing here and what you're not doing. And now, on top of that, I know what you do outside the church. And I'm like, wow, they are gifted and talented. Then you come here and just sit. You're doing what this guy did in verse 20. You're hiding your gift. You're hiding it. And notice Jesus said, "You wicked servant." A wicked servant is one who God has given gifts and talents and abilities, and they're taking it and hiding it. That's a wicked servant. Some of you can do all kinds of things, but are you doing those same kind of things for the kingdom of God? Are you taking care of business for the kingdom? Or are you hiding it? It's time out for us hiding what God has given us in a handkerchief, like verse 20 says this man did. It's time for us to get busy for the Lord, because what we're going to be doing for the kingdom of God has something to do with what we're doing right now. How God is going to work that out, only he knows. Only he knows. So we need to take care of business, number one, in our homes. Number two, for the kingdom. Number three, in our lives personally. Look at verses 28 to 40 so we can get the context. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near Bethphage or Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, he sent 2 of his disciples saying, "Go into the village opposite you. where you enter and you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as the Lord has said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus and they threw their own clothes on the colt and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. And then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep quiet, the very stones going to immediately start crying out. I love that. I want you to see, looking at how we are to take care of business in our lives personally. As Jesus is coming down the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples into the city to find a colt tied up. He said, loose him and bring him to me. Why? Because verse 31 says, he has need of it. This blows me away because the irony of Jesus, who is God in human flesh, he would need anything. But throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus needed things. He needed Peter's boat to preach from. He needed the little boy's 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people. He needed the coin to pay his taxes. He needed to go through Samaria because there was a woman by the well that he knew once he reached her, he can reach that whole city. It's amazing how Jesus would place himself in a position of need. And the reason why is this one reason only. So we can partner with him in what he wants to accomplish here on the earth. In other words, the Lord needs you and me. He really don't need us. But he needs you and me to do what he has created us to do on this earth. Because there are people that need to be fed. There's people by the well, so to speak, like the woman by the well, that need to be ministered to. And he wants us to receive the joy of being used by the Creator. Let me tell you something. If you've never been used by God, you have no clue what I'm talking about. The joy of being used by God, the Creator, is priceless. The joy of being used by God. And so often, like this donkey, before we can be used, we must first be loosed. What is binding you up today? What has you tied down, keeping you from being used by the Lord? Whatever it is, you must first be loosed before Jesus can use you. Oh, yes, it is true. When we're saved, Jesus sets us free. John 8:32 says the truth shall set you free. John 8:36 says whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But sometimes we go back to those things or people that Jesus set us free from. And we end up bound up in those areas once again. Jesus wants to use us so we can receive that joy of being used by him. So let us not allow things or people. Oh, I've just seen where singles were loving the Lord, being used by God. You're set free. When you're single, you're set free. You can be used by the Lord in incredible ways. But all of a sudden, start dating, start getting caught up in a relationship, and that relationship tied them down. Next thing you know, you don't see them anymore. They done fell into sexual sin. It's just, I've seen where relationships bound folks up. You can't be used until you're loosed. And when we're bound up, it restricts us from being used like God wants to use us. And so often, I've seen where folks were loosed and then began to be bound up in some relationship, something, some bottle, some drug, something once again. Look at verses 41 to 44. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it and saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surrounded you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the day of your visitation. Here is Jesus weeping over Jerusalem because he is coming as their Messiah and they rejected him. Zechariah 9:9 said that the Messiah, the way you would know your Messiah, he will come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And they were too blind to see it. And Jesus wept. As parents, we understand this to a certain degree. When our children reject the very God we brought them up believing, it breaks our hearts. Or when they reject us as parents, it breaks our hearts because we know the destruction that is going to bring in their lives like it did Jerusalem. Jerusalem rejected Jesus as their Messiah. And then in 70 AD, Rome came in and just leveled the place. And over 1 million Jews were killed. And Jesus is weeping. Have you ever wept over the people on your job who are far from God? Have you ever wept over your neighbors who are lost, over the city we're in? Have you wept over our nation? Have you ever wept over these particular things? What about your spouse? We get a heart like this by spending time with Jesus in prayer and Bible study, and he will begin to break our hearts with the things that break his. And when you find yourself very critical, and them over there, and they over there, this nation, this country, those people, it shows that you haven't spent time with Jesus lately. You know why? Because Jesus, he weeps for people. He weeps for nations. He weeps for cities. He weeps for countries. He weeps for worlds, this world. He weeps for us. And when you find yourself very critical and you're always pointing the finger, finding fault, correcting everyone, hey, that's not the heart of Jesus. That's not the heart of Jesus at all. Look at verses 45 to 48. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now, Jesus now goes into the temple and began to drive out those who turned God's house into a mini mall. And they were ripping the people off by rejecting their animal sacrifices that they brought to the temple, and said that they had to buy one of their pre-approved animals that were marked up. The high priest Annas at this time was a multi-billionaire at this particular time because of this business. And Jesus didn't like what they had turned his father's house into. Another gospel writer said that he made a whip and drove them out. Sometimes Jesus has to come into the temple of our lives and drive some things out of it. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So we have the Spirit of God in us as believers, and sometimes we bring things or people into the temple of our lives that need to be driven out. Sometimes things and people and habits can be stubborn to the point where Jesus had to bring a whip and drive them out. Because God will lovingly come and say, you know, you need to get this or them out of your life. Okay, I will. And you already know you're a citizen of the greatest nation, procrastination. And so sometime God's, he'll come again. Don't forget, hey, you need to get them or this thing out of your life. I know. Then when he comes again, all of a sudden you see this whip by his side, because sometimes he has to drive those things out. When this happens, it's not always pleasant, but he will not let us defile or pollute his temple and get away with it. Sometimes the consequences are painful. The way that we keep our temples holy is by making the temple of our lives a house of prayer, like verse 46 says. Staying in prayer and the word, it cleanses and purifies us. Notice how prayer and teaching goes hand in hand in verses 46 and 47. Talking about his house being a house in prayer. Then he goes into verse 47 and talking about he was teaching daily in the temple. Prayer and the word goes hand in hand. That purifies our lives. I bring that up because so many people say, I pray. And then when you hear, I always ask, well, do you read the Bible? Well, no, you know, not like I should, you know. That means you're not doing it at all. You just need to just be real about it. You only open up your Bible when you come here and I say, turn with me in your Bibles to, you know, that's the only time you do it. But prayer and the word goes hand in hand. So many people think that a relationship with God is a monologue where we just pray, we just pray, we just pray. We speak to God in prayer. He speaks to us back through the word. It's a dialogue that takes place. Prayer and the word goes hand in hand. And this is how we keep the temple of our lives clean. Prayer and the study of the word. Let me conclude with this. In this chapter, we study how to take care of business in three areas. Number one, in our homes. Number two, for the kingdom of God. Number three, in our lives personally. So are you taking care of business in these three areas? A sign that you're taking care of business at home is a changed life. And your view of money and your willingness to give. That is always a sign that Jesus has come into your life personally. A sign that you're taking care of business for the kingdom is look at what you're doing for God at church. Look at what you're doing for the kingdom. That's always a sign to see whether you're taking care of business for the kingdom. A sign that we're taking care of business in our lives personally is to see if we're spending time in God's word and prayer or if God constantly has to bring out the whip. Ask the Lord to show you which one of these areas you need work and allow him to work in that area. Maybe he has to bring the whip. Or maybe you need to restore something like Zacchaeus, restore some relationship or seek to do it like Zacchaeus. Whatever it is, seek to obey what it is that he shows you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word that you've given us. We pray, God, that you will work in our hearts and in our lives. We pray, God, that you would move by the power of your Holy Spirit. There are people who are struggling, Lord, in these three areas. They're not taking care of business. Lord, I pray that you will move upon their hearts today. Show them the area that they need to take care of business in. Lord, there are some who have not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. Lord, they are not a changed person. And I pray, God, that they'll repent of their sins today and confess you as Lord and Savior. Lord, move in people's hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.